This is going to be the first of two very special shows on the Beacon. Mrs. Lainey Kleeman, about something very, very new as far as research is concerned. Or maybe it's not that new. Maybe it's just new to me. But it sounds like it can revolutionize the way
we look at
eye disease and other diseases that affect the body.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a first of two shows, and it's called Genetic Research.
Okay.
You know, you've heard about
genetic research.
String and all of that
stuff.
The whole business of replacing parts that either are missing or that are wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
And there are two opportunities to talk with two different research teams that are working specifically on things that relate to the eye. And it is absolutely fascinating what they've come up with, you know.
Even since we've been doing this show, in the 8 years we've been doing, the advancements in technology are pretty outstanding.
You know, it's like it's like an explosion.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on the train the other morning, and she was saying that, because she has an eye problem, and she says, it's amazing how things have progressed since she first was diagnosed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Had I waited 5 more years with the onset of what I had, the glaucoma, I probably would have been seeing something today.
Really?
A little bit, not a lot.
Right.
Not enough to drive or anything.
Right.
But at least enough to, you know, be dangerous and walk out in the traffic, that sort of thing. But,
right.
But still, at least it would have been something. You
yeah,
know, so.
Absolutely.
Dr. Dan Chung and Jamie Ring, they're from in the hospital that they work with in Philadelphia, escapes me. But they represent a company called, it's Sparks, isn't it?
Stark Research.
They are working on something, and it all has to do with inherited retinal disease.
Yep.
And that's right up Dr. Gerald Fishman's alley, because that's through the Pangaea Center of the retinal-related diseases, inherited retinal-related diseases at the Lighthouse. He's doing some fantastic stuff, and they've actually consulted with him.
Great.
So that should be an interesting thing that we'll be talking about. And then we have what coming up?
We have Miss Sandy Murillo.
Oh, yeah. She's back again with us.
She's back for Sandy's View.
Yes, and?
And then I am back for another installment of Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
You have a tidbit of information that we can hang on?
I do. We're going to discuss healthy mistakes that people make. Or, excuse me, mistakes that healthy people make.
Mistake.
Yes.
Okay.
So you think you're being healthy by doing X, Y, and Z, but in fact, you might not be.
I am going to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting.
Stick around, because we have got the very interesting part one of two as we talk about genetics. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to make a New Year's resolution to combat vision loss by getting treatment at the Chicago Lighthouse's world-class rehabilitation center. Our highly recommended doctors can assist individuals of all ages with reduced vision caused by any eye disease, either congenital or acquired. For your convenience, there are satellite clinics located in Glenview, Elk Grove Village, Flossmoor, Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and our newest site, Trade Winds in Merrillville, Indiana. To make an appointment, call 312-997-3686. That's 312-997-3686.
This is Dr. Janet Slick, President and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. We're celebrating 110 years of changing lives in 2016. The Chicago Lighthouse provides a community of comprehensive care for people who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans.
Nine major television networks are making some primetime and children's programs more accessible to persons with impaired eyesight. For about 4 hours a week, the networks will be providing video description, an audible narration of a program's key visual elements inserted in natural pauses of the dialogue. The description may be accessed by a television's secondary audio feature, which might be labeled SAP or Spanish, since the feature is sometimes used for a language translation. To learn about described programs shown in your area, contact your cable or satellite television provider or your local ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC station. To learn about your equipment's secondary audio feature, contact the vendor or manufacturer. The Federal Communication Commission's information on video description is available at www.fcc.gov or by calling 1-888-225-5322.
If you have lost the place where you're living and are staying in a motel, hotel, campground, your car, a shelter, or you're sharing a home with other people because you just can't afford to pay rent, let us help you get your kids in school and receive other educational benefits and free meals. Illinois is looking out for the welfare of families, children, and youth experiencing homelessness. Call 1-800-215-6379 and let us help you get your child in school. The number again is 1-800-215-6379.
You know, at the Chicago Lighthouse, we kind of pride ourselves on having one of the renowned experts on retinal disease here, Dr. Gerald Fishman. He is in the Pangier Center for Retinal Research and gets involved in a lot of projects on how to figure out how to, well, either prevent or at least to get to the point where it's manageable with some of the diseases that affect the retina, which is really the most critical part of the eye. At least I think so. It's the film of the camera. It's the part that is the most sensitive but is very, very much prone to disease of one form or another. Joining us on the program this morning is Jamie Ring and Dan Chung. They're with Stark Corporation. Hey, welcome both of you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. We're doing great.
Morning, yes. It's a pleasure.
Terrific. Now, you know, I've been talking to so many people over the last few weeks or so, and one thing seems to come full circle, is that genetics has a lot to do with a lot of different eye diseases, and you are primarily, I think your company primarily deals in working on how genetics can help resolve some of the issues that and some of the diseases that affect the retina. Tell me a little bit about the research that you guys have been doing.
So one of the main focuses of Spark Therapeutics here in Philadelphia, we're a leader in the field of gene therapy and looking at these diseases that really originate from a genetic origin, we're looking to do gene therapy, which is really a one-time therapeutic to try and alleviate and to basically improve the lives of people with these genetic diseases. Mm-hmm. And so for Spark, that's our main thrust, is to develop therapies and bring them to the people that really there's never been a therapy for.
Right. Is this the work that you're doing, is this alter the genetic makeup, or is it augment the genetic makeup of the person's DNA and that sort of thing?
Well, that's a great question. So gene therapy in the form that we do is exactly what you said. We augment the genetics of the individual, and basically we are trying to restore the missing function because of the defective gene by, as you say, augmenting a normal or copy of the gene.
Now, you know, it sounds, to a lot of people, it sounds like science fiction, and it kind of gives them that deer in the headlight look, so when they start thinking about genetic therapy and augmenting it or altering it, where do you actually, you know, we all have a genetic string that makes up who we are, and is it along that string that either your treatment or your augmentation works to try and correct whatever has not been provided by nature?
Well, that's exactly it. As you had mentioned, that string or that sequence of DNA is what is found in a specific gene. Mm-hmm. And when that sequence or that spelling, a lot of times we say, is misspelled, we call that a mutation. Mm-hmm. And when those mutations occur in those genes, that's when we develop these diseases. So, and when that happens, usually it's because the gene isn't producing the protein or the substance that's needed to carry out the proper function. And by actually augmenting or adding a new gene with the correct sequence, mm-hmm. the correct spelling, we're able to produce that protein again and help to alleviate the course of disease. At least that's the goal. For us, obviously, we deal with genetic diseases of the eye. Mm-hmm. Specifically, right now we're looking at RPE65 gene and the different retinal dystrophies or diseases that are associated with that. So we do this by something called a vector, and it really is all that is a delivery system.
I see.
And what we do is it's almost like a FedEx type of thing.
Sure.
We put the correct gene and this vector in which we then inject into the back of the eye, and so then the corrected gene is then delivered into the back of the eye. And this is really where the need for genetic testing really comes into play, because these are genetic diseases, and we really need to know and confirm the genetic origins of these diseases to really get a good understanding of the diagnosis.
You answered my question. My next question was going to be, how is this implemented? And you said where it's injected into the back part of the eye, or the where the retina actually is where it attaches to the macula and all the rest of that. Are you still in testing stages on the type of work that you're doing right now with the current gene therapy?
So in our program, we've actually concluded the third phase of testing, and as you may know, the third phase is usually the last phase before we go to the regulatory agency, the FDA. So right now we're in that mode of going through the data and making preparations for that presentation to the regulatory body.
How long have you been working on this? This sounds like something that didn't happen just within a year or so. You must have been working on this for quite a while.
It has been a long road, and there have been multiple components in this. I originally started at University of Pennsylvania, and a lot of this work was pioneered by Dr. Gene Bennett and Dr. Al McGuire. In the preclinical work with the dogs that were used as a model of disease, mm-hmm. and then all the preclinical work done there. Then Dr. Catherine High, in conjunction with Drs. Bennett and McGuire, started and a myriad of others, there's a huge team of people
sure.
that are involved, started the clinical trials at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and then from there really was the impetus and the generation of Spark Therapeutics, mm-hmm. who is now responsible for the completion of the testing and preparation for the FDA, and then obviously further on to hopefully promote worldwide access if everything goes.
I see. Is this going to be, is Spark really going to be a self-sufficient, self-standing corporation or company after all of the FDA approval and the final testing is done?
So that's a great question. So Spark is currently a corporation. It's a publicly traded company.
Okay.
So the company was founded just over 2 years ago and had its IPO, which is that initial public offering, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now really kind of a standalone organization. And this is our lead program. The RPE65 program is our lead program, and we had, as Dan said, very successful results from the phase 3 trial, which
sure.
now enables us to file for regulatory approvals. That said, we also have other research programs that we have initiated. So we have a second IRD condition, in fact, choroideremia, that's currently in a phase 1-2 trial. And then we also have other disease areas. We have programs in hemophilia, and then we also just announced a new program in neurodegenerative diseases. So our hope is, you know, as we said in the beginning, to become the leader in gene therapy treatments. As of now, there are no gene therapy treatments approved in the United States, and we're very excited to hopefully be the company to bring the first gene therapy, to the United States. And, of course, in particular, it's very exciting that it could be for a retinal disease.
Sure. Yeah, you again answered one of the questions I was going to say. Are you only restricting yourself to the genetics with the eye? But it sounds like you're doing a lot more than that, that you're looking at other aspects of gene therapy and how it affects other parts of the body as well. Or am I
yeah,
wrong?
We are, yeah. But importantly, you know, the work that's being
sure.
done in the retinal diseases, you know, is really, we've learned so much and
sure.
we'll continue to apply those learnings. You know, the other thing that's important to mention is, you know, as we are now into our second program in retinal diseases, we fully intend, you know, to continue seeking other potential uses for this treatment in other retinal disease mutations.
Okay.
So, you know, this kind of comes back to the importance of people who have retinal diseases in today's research environment, understanding what their specific genetic mutation might be, you know, because the way research is going, there are these gene-specific, you know, research programs, not just at Spark, really all over the world taking place. So it's really a very unique and innovative time for retinal disease potential treatment.
You know, it's amazing that you should say that, because like I said earlier on when I was doing the introduction and that, it seems like it's a full circle type of thing where a lot of the research being done, some of the work being done even for glaucoma. I talked to a doctor about 6 or 8 months ago over at Northwestern University in Chicago here, and they had discovered, as they put it, the lock and key on what could be the cause of glaucoma, you know, with the Schlemm's canal and keeping that canal open so that the flow of the fluid doesn't, you know, build up in the eye. And again, it's a genetic type of thing that they're looking at too. So it seems like you guys have hit on in the research world, you've hit on an area that's so important to be able to understand and then to be able to augment or to, you know, try to do something that would either change or alter that the genetics enough to, you know, prohibit a lot of these diseases. And it seems like what you're working on and what Dr. Fishman works on are some pretty exotic diseases, aren't they?
Yes, a lot of these diseases are somewhat rare, but the beauty of this is that we're really trying to affect the lives of folks that really didn't have any alternatives in the past, and, mm-hmm. and giving them hopefully an option that will improve the quality of life. With that said, though, we also learn a lot about gene therapy doing these that we hope to apply to maybe other diseases or pathologies that may be a little more common.
Sure.
So it's definitely a building tool.
You know, it sounds fascinating, and like I said, you're working on your second project now with the other product that you're dealing with, or the other form of you know, working with the genetics and that. It sounds. When do you project that the current project that you're working on, when do you project that would get FDA approval and be on the market?
So at this time, we're, you know, we have announced that we'll be filing with the FDA
sure.
in 2016. So we, as Dan said, we're still going through the large quantity of data that's been gathered in the phase 3 study, and we want to make sure we have a thorough and robust application that goes into FDA. So we'll be communicating with, you know, interested parties and, you know, anyone who follows Spark. We'll be communicating with more detail, you know, when we expect to actually file. Because of the technology, we actually have what's considered breakthrough designation mm-hmm. by the FDA. And so that may help actually sort of speed up the review process a bit. So at this point, we don't have an exact time frame as to when this might be, you know, available,
sure.
more readily available outside of trials. But we'll have more information on that, you know, in next year.
How many people participated in the, and did you do it at different sites across the country as far as doing the testing, the clinical testing on it?
Yes. So in the first phase of the study, the phase 1 study, we had 12 individuals, and they were done here at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. For the phase three study, we did expand that number, and that was done at two sites here in Philadelphia, again at Children's Hospital, and then we had a site at the University of Iowa as well. So it was a two-site study there.
And how many participants did you have in the study?
We had a total of 31 in the phase three study.
You know, to a lot of people, they would say, "Oh, that sounds like a small cross section," but actually, it's not when you're dealing with what you're talking about, because I'm sure certain criteria had to be met to become part of the clinical testing.
Yes, that's one of the things about a rare disease. But one of the things that we found is that even with this small group, we found that our endpoints, that they reached a very high level of statistical significance. And so even with the small subset, we did have some relatively robust results.
Sure.
Coming through.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. I'd like to stay in touch, because once you actually get the FDA approval and start the actual use of the genetic, is it a drug? It's obviously, since it's injected, it has to be a fluid or something. What would you call it? What would be, you know, like most people say, oh well, it's either an injection or it's a oral treatment, that sort of thing. How would you classify it, is what I'm getting at?
I mean, I think at this point we it's classified as a gene therapy treatment.
Okay.
Because that's not a very well, I mean, it's not a used treatment today.
Sure. Sure.
I think that, you know, as gene therapy becomes, hopefully becomes a new way of treating, especially, you know, rare diseases, but genetic diseases, for now, it's really just a gene therapy treatment or gene therapy procedure.
Okay, I think that's the best way to refer to it. Like I say, I'd like to stay in touch with you, find out, you know, what actually hits the market and see what kind of reaction that you get from it. But it sounds like that is the direction that a lot of research is going into, taking a look at the genetic makeup and then seeing how whatever research is being done can help either alter that or augment that to try and prevent some of these diseases. And like you said, they're rare, so a lot of times it's not a large percentage of people that would benefit from it, but if one person benefits from it, that's the thing that counts more than anything else. Dan Chung and Jamie Ring, thanks a lot for joining us, from giving us the update on what you're doing here. And like I said, I'll stay in touch with you, because I find this very, very fascinating, and I think it's the future of where being able to treat diseases that affect the eye and the retina. I think that's the direction that we're heading into.
Well, thank you so much for having us on the show. I might just mention that for anyone who's looking for more information about SPARC, please feel free to visit our website, where you can also sign up to receive company updates, and that's simply www.sparktx.com. And we just want to say thank you. You know, Dan and I both had a chance to visit Lighthouse back in September and met with Dr. Fishman and had a tour of the facility and got to meet a lot of the staff there. We also got to meet Ruben, who we understand is a local celebrity. And it's a wonderful group of people, and you're doing incredible work. So it's really our pleasure to be a part of this discussion.
Well, Ruben is a colleague of my dog, Lincoln. So, you know.
All right, well, next time we'll have to meet Lincoln too, then.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Well, listen, I wish you guys the best. And like I said, I'll keep in touch and maybe register with the website so I can keep up with the updates that are going to be affecting this, what I think to be the next phase of eye treatment. The program's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
1.4 million people in Illinois who really want to work can't. Financially, it doesn't make sense for them. You see, if they were employed, they'd lose Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is almost impossible to get. This is the reality for people with disabilities. Meet Anna. She's single with severe diabetes. Anna couldn't work because no employer would provide health insurance, and she had to keep her income low enough for Medicaid. But now there is a solution for Anna, a state program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. Anna can enroll in HBWD and get full health care benefits, even working part-time. If this sounds like someone you know, call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com to learn more about health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Move beyond your disability and take control. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com today.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
The Beacon is here every Saturday morning. And if you would like to contribute to our program, do you remember any of this?
Do I remember any of it?
The address?
Oh, my gosh. No! Why do we have to do the address? Nobody's going to write us a letter. Just email us, people. Come into the 21st century, shall you? It's the water is fine.
No checks. We'll take debit cards.
Right.
Credit cards, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is... Well, we were just talking, too, off the air about how checks are pretty extinct now as well. I don't remember the address.
Don't worry about it.
I only come here once every couple of months.
But if you would like to send it in a donation for the Beacon, just send us to us here at the Chicago Lighthouse, care of the Beacon, 1850 West Roosevelt Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60608.
There it is.
Simple and clean.
Simple.
Just like this next feature with Sandra Morello, because what are we doing? We're going to get Sandy's view, and she's always... Oh, she knows she does a lot of work on these segments.
Oh, I know she does.
She does an extremely...
She's all over it. I mean, this girl, she really gets her hands into it.
All this, too, and she can cook.
That's amazing.
So here's Sandra Morello.
Jenkins Salen is the owner of Blue Bridge Legacy Restaurant, a restaurant in Joliet, Illinois, offering soul food and different types of cuisine. Jenkins is actually working on making her menus... accessible and her services accessible. She has already made her menus available in Braille. And joining us to talk about that this morning is Jenkins Allen. Jenkins, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Tell us how you came up with the idea of making menus in Braille.
Well, just my experiences going to the restaurants, I noticed, you know, nobody really had anything for the people with disabilities. You know, they were almost totally reliant on another person to, and I want them to feel comfortable and, you know, be able to come out and do their own ordering and stuff without help if they don't need it.
Yeah, definitely. I know that's a, that's a big, problem. It's one of the biggest obstacles when you go out to eat as someone who is blind or has significant vision loss. You might have to rely on others to read the menu.
Yeah.
Was there something or someone that inspired you? Because, you know, it's sad to say, but a lot of the larger business don't have such menus available. Is there something or someone that inspired you to do that? To provide the Braille menus?
No, I just noticed it. You know, when I had a couple of customers come in, and, you know, when I used to go out, I used to see it, you know, and they always relied upon someone else to do the ordering or do the, you know, and I'm currently working on the TTY for deaf people also. Mm-hmm. like I said, I want to be able to reach everyone.
Yeah, so in other words, you're making both the menus accessible and also communication accessible to people, like you said, who are deaf. And I think that's impressive, because a lot of local business don't think of those types of things. You know, they might think it's a big cost or a huge burden. I know that when we were talking yesterday, you mentioned that a friend of yours was actually able to print the menus.
Yes, Mrs. Black out of Matson, Illinois, I think it is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she offered to do it for me, and she didn't want to be exposed, so I don't want to bring her name out. So.
Okay. Great, and then just for that, so that other businesses know, and the Beacon Is broadcast can be heard throughout the United States on our website. But there are many resources, for businesses that will provide these types of menus too, and it's great when there's a person, a local friend or something. But there are also other businesses that can help out with this. So, going back to a little bit about the restaurant, what type of food do you sell?
It's basically American. It's a Southern American Southern style cuisine. We have from fried green tomatoes to fried bologna. We have smothered pork chops, meatloaf, catfish, shrimp, barbecue ribs, chicken. Just a variety of foods. It's just Southern style cooking.
So a little bit of everything, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's perfect for our audience, if they want to go later on to eat or, celebrate a special occasion.
Yes, and I can hold up to about 50 people, yes.
So, okay. And where is the restaurant located exactly?
It's on the famous Route 66, and Joliet is Route 53. They run together, Route 66 and Route 53.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm minutes away from the Harris Casino and about 10 miles away from the Route 66 racetrack.
Okay.
It's 1215 North Broadway.
1215 North Broadway.
Yes.
Great. So, and what's a good number where the audience can reach you in case they have any questions or comments?
815-72-6-2422. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'm nervous.
But believe me, this is pre-recorded and we edit it,
oh.
So don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry. Could you repeat that again once you have it?
Yeah, 815-726-2422.
Great, and then going back to the menus, how many menus do you have? Is it just one, two? How many is it?
Well, in Braille, we have seven.
And seven Braille menus. So it's.
Yeah, and if I need more, I can also get it. So.
Great. Well,
and I also do catering.
Oh, do you do?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, there you have it, and I know that our Lainey Kleeman segment, Let Us Turn Up the Beat, will be coming up soon, and, she also talks about food, and so this is a perfect compliment to her segment.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else you want to add or share with the audience?
I do have room for about 49, 50 people, and it also has a full-scale bar in it.
Wonderful. So that's, soul food and the bar, and best of all, it's accessible to everyone. That's
yes, we have the ramp for the wheelchair, disabled people to get up. So, and that's all I can think of.
Great. Well, that's more than enough. Well, again, we congratulate you for making these efforts to make your business more accessible and inclusive. So can you repeat the address of the Blue Bridge Legacy restaurant?
Okay, the Blue Bridge Legacy Restaurant on Route 66, 1215 North Broadway in Joliet, Illinois, 60435.
Great. And can we have the phone number again, please?
815-726-2422.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jenkins, and good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
The longer you live in retirement, the more you'll receive in Social Security retirement benefits. Visit our life expectancy calculator to see how long you might be able to receive retirement benefits. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov/planner/lifeexpectancy.hcm.
You can't choose your relatives, but you can choose your guide dog school. And when you enroll at Guiding Eyes for the Blind, you become part of a nurturing family that's dedicated to your success. Guiding Eyes cares about you from the moment you enroll and every day that you're partnered with a Guiding Eyes dog. That means you'll have access to expert advice, visit from instructors, and even a fund to help pay for your dog's care. Guiding Eyes knows that everyone's different, and they have a whole menu of program options to fit your lifestyle, including a program for you to be trained at home. Guiding Eyes is the family you choose and can depend on forever.
Before I made my choice, I did my homework, and I found that Guiding Eyes was the best place for me.
Visit guidingeyes.org to find out more, or call Guiding Eyes for the Blind toll free at 1-800-942-0149.
Well, we're up to you.
We are. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's going to be
your turn.
Hey,
bada, bada, bada.
That's right.
All
right. Get up to the plate over there and give it a couple of swings. And
let's do it.
We are going to get some vital information on a topic that I find very interesting. So let us turn up the beat.
Without further ado, this is another two-parter. So
okay.
I'm going to do half this week and half next week. But the topic today is 27 mistakes healthy people make. And I actually don't have 27. No,
okay.
I think I have 12. I think I narrowed it down to 12. So, mistake number one, always buying organic is actually not necessarily advised. It's wise for certain foods such as beef or strawberries, but it doesn't make much of a difference for others like avocados or eggs. And I think the general rule that I like to follow is if it's got a thick skin on it that you peel away, the amount of pesticide that goes into the food that you're actually eating, like the meat of the food, is much, it's minimal compared to like a strawberry where you eat the whole thing and the pesticides go directly onto it. So you don't want to assume that all organic foods are healthier than non-organic options, or that organic equals healthy either, because if you buy an organic high sugar, high calorie, you know, whatnot at the grocery store, it's not going to be any healthier for you than the non-organic.
You know, my
version.
Grocery stores are usually out of whatnots, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something else.
Just go to the other one.
Uh-huh.
Go to the Jewel. They usually have the whatnot.
That's true. That's right.
So this week isn't going to be all about food. It's just going to be kind of about healthy habits.
Sure.
To keep us, to optimize our health. Mistake number two that healthy people make, skimping on sleep. So if you think it's a good idea to get up at 5 a.m. and hit the gym, not necessarily. Good news for me. You should actually be sleeping instead. And if you don't get enough, studies have consistently shown that people need at least 7 hours of sleep for optimal health.
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah, I know. You and me both. Short sleep or not enough sleep has been associated with a host of health problems such as high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, and actually a reduced immune response to vaccines as well.
Hmm.
So it is really, and I feel it, like my body, I think ever since since TJ's been born, and he's almost four. I feel like I've aged 10 years in 4 years, you know.
But you still look modest.
Thank you, darling. Yeah. But it just feels, you know, I definitely feel a change in my body.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I mean, even just looking at my face, I just feel not revitalized ever.
you wake up tired.
Exactly. Yep. So I think sleep is a big one. Next is being a germaphobe, washing your hands, hand sanitizer, you know, everything. Your body needs that immunity. And we all know people who always have their hand sanitizer and wash your hands. It's important to wash your hands, absolutely, after you go to the restroom, even throughout the day with soap and water, to help kill germs that do make you sick. But evidence also shows that some germ exposure can actually strengthen your immune system and help prevent allergies. And then actually an overly sterile environment might be bad because your body then doesn't build up any immunity to what it is then, you know, what it may be exposed to down the road. Good bacteria are also key for staying healthy, particularly for the skin and the digestive tract.
Mm.
So being a germaphobe isn't going to necessarily keep you healthy. And delaying medical care. And I'm
a culprit for that.
I know. And I'm actually bringing this up because my, I actually had an experience with this where I had an infection in my leg. And
you remember that?
Yeah. And I didn't get it treated. I thought it was just a burst cyst under my skin. And I didn't get it treated. It just got worse. And then I ended up being hospitalized for 3 days because they thought it had become a MRSA infection.
Ooh.
Yeah. And fortunately, it wasn't. But I was still in hospital isolation for 3 years because I didn't.
3 weeks. 3 days.
3 days. 3 years.
Three days.
I was in isolation for 3 days. So, you know, my mother-in-law actually just had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago
Sorry.
It's okay. She's fine now, but it was the same thing. She had symptoms for a week before she finally, it got so bad that she couldn't breathe. And
she
decided,
had a
But she knew for a week that she wasn't, you know, something was wrong. So people often stall or they can, you know, they make excuses for symptoms, but a rapid treatment can help prevent permanent heart or brain damage. Right.
You've had your share of medical issues. That's true. Yeah.
Right. So it's really important. And I mean, I think we're all kind of culprits for, yeah, it's no big deal. We're all good and get to it next week.
Or it'll get better.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But if there's really an issue, it's just going to continue to get worse until you get treated. And especially if you're having stroke or heart attack symptoms, you don't want to delay on getting medical care for that. Next is exercising alone to lose weight is not an effective means of weight loss. Regular exercise is crucial and important for maintaining a healthy weight, but you're not going to lose any weight if you're exercising like crazy and then going out and eating, you know.
Oh, you mean you shouldn't go out and have a McDonald's Big Mac?
Ironically, no.
Exercise?
No, you really shouldn't. You should kind of, you know, find the balance.
Can you go from the extremely large fry to the small bag?
You know what? Sure, you know, you can. Yeah, that is one change that you can make. And I say that because some people just, you know, that's progress for them. And that's success.
Goes back to what you were saying a few weeks ago when you said that if you have a craving for something, have it.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, then you're going to eat everything else under the sun and not feel satisfied.
That's exactly right. So if you're used to having an extra large fry and you switch to small fries, that's progress.
That's progress.
You know,
that's
a success to be celebrated. Yep. It really is. You know, people exercise until they're blue in the face and they get frustrated because they're not losing weight. But the reality is you need to find a healthy balance between exercise and diet to be successful in weight loss.
It's like the guy who went into since we're talking about Mickey D's, I'll say it. He went into McDonald's and he ordered they had this special going on. So he had a quarter pounder with cheese, a Big Mac, a large order of fries and a Diet Coke.
Oh,
and his friend says, why are you having a Diet Coke? He says, well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So now all of this stuff is going to be on our website?
It is. It's going to be on our Facebook page at Chicago Beacon, as well as Twitter, which is at Chicago Beacon.
All right. Yeah. Sounds very good. And we'll look with bated breath, standing here waiting to see what you have to share with us next week.
Very exciting.
She's Lainey Kleeman, and she let us turn up the beat.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same.
But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Well, are you ready to take that walk down the street?
Always.
Make that turn at the corner and head up the block where you see that little house where the swing that used to hang there is just a pile of ashes in the front yard where they decided to make marshmallows last fall. So I'm going to clean all that up.
You paint such a pretty picture.
Do I? Yes.
You really do. So very vivid.
You walk up, you knock on the door.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, they're not always listening, so you plow your way in. And what we see on the couch is Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins in
Tom's Corner.
Well, Tom, we're lucky once again, three times lucky, 3 weeks in a row we have a guest. And this time, it's Nicole Duarte of AT&T, the Michigan Avenue store, the brand store, right?
That's right. Hey, Brian, good to see you today. And Nicole,
hey,
we're glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. You're excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. And how I met Nicole is an interesting story. And this was several months ago when I wanted to order my new iPhone, right?
Right.
Now, I'd been using an iPhone for a while, but just like always, I had like a million questions, right? So I go into the AT&T store on Michigan Avenue, and we sit down with Nicole, and my wife Diane and I are sitting there. And pretty soon, we're talking and asking lots of questions. And pretty soon, it's like 2 hours later, and we're still sitting there. I'm thinking, they're going to kick us out of here, right? But I didn't realize your store. And explain to people kind of the concept of the AT&T store there.
Okay, so the store is located on Michigan and Ontario. It's called the Michigan Avenue Brand Store. It's the only one of its kind. And there you can receive one-on-one help from a friendly expert, unlike any other experience that you may have had at other AT&T stores. We have a beautiful space, and we have a lot of brand ambassadors available on hand to help customers. Short wait times because, you know, we have a lot of availability. And, you know, if you really just have questions on your device or about any of your AT&T services, you can come in there, and we can take care of you.
So it's a pretty neat concept. So you're sitting, you just can sit down and talk with people. How about people, like, of course, here at the Lighthouse, we work people with vision impairment, and I know you came and you took a tour of the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And I've been telling people about the fact that they could just go and ask for you, make an appointment, or they could just walk in and talk to any of the staff there.
That's right. They could make an appointment to come into the Michigan Avenue store by just logging into AT&T.com, or they can just definitely walk in. But all of our brand ambassadors are trained on accessibility. We specialize in helping anyone, especially seniors who may have, you know, questions on their smartphones, or if they don't have a smartphone and want to, you know, think about getting one, you know, that's the store to go to as far as learning on all the things that you can do by choosing an iPhone or an Android device. Helps on everyday things.
How about a tablet, if there's somebody who's interested?
Yes, we can help them with the tablets. The great thing about our store is that it's an experience store, so you can use all of the devices prior to making any purchases. We have a lot of accessories also that you could try before you purchase. The whole store is just a concept store where you can really just get the feel of the technology, and we're all very knowledgeable about any of the questions that you may have.
Right, right. So that's what I was shocked, you know, just the patience that you guys have.
Yes, we're all very patient. That's our specialty. All of our brand ambassadors have been selected to work at that store specifically. So we take pride in really giving our customers a great experience and, you know, represent AT&T as a company.
Right, exactly. So we're now going to announce something really cool that's coming up in March. This will be a first-time event in Chicago area.
Yeah, and at the Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. At the Lighthouse, mm-hmm. And we're doing it in conjunction with AT&T. And explain the title and what it's about, Nicole.
So we will be hosting a Wireless Independence Now workshop, or a WIN workshop for short. It's just a training for individuals or caregivers that may have questions on accessibility features on their smartphones or tablets. We'll have a presentation to, you know, walk them through some of the features that they may have known or don't know about already, and then we'd be able to offer one-on-one sessions for anyone who might have additional questions. And we're really excited because it's going to be hosted at the Lighthouse. So
right. So yeah, we'll be able to announce it probably on my radio show next week. We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
But we're looking at the middle of March.
Yep. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So that'll be good. So you have an accessibility team, AT&T from the Dallas area.
Yeah, okay. we have an accessibility team, you know, for AT&T that kind of puts together the curriculum. Also, they put together the training that each representative goes through. Even at your local AT&T store, all of our employees are trained on accessibility as far as getting the devices set up and, you know, kind of giving customers the tool to empower themselves through technology. So
right. So I guess this is a challenge to all of our listeners who don't have a smartphone but have been hearing a lot about it, or maybe don't have a tablet. You have no excuses now.
I know. you gotta get logged on. And if you're not able to make the workshop in March, you can stop by the Michigan Avenue store anytime, just so you know, learn a little bit about the smartphones. And don't be shy, because we love to help.
Yeah. So you're at 600 North Michigan is your store,
yep,
right on the corner.
600 North Michigan Avenue. You can't miss us.
Yeah. So. It's quite a place. You have a little museum in there, too, that's quite interesting.
Oh, yes, our Journey of Innovation. It's got a little bit of a museum feel.
Yeah.
Basically, it's our ode to technology throughout the years. So it's a really cool interactive display that customers can use while they're browsing. Basically, we have these QR codes loaded that you can, you know, scan it with your tablet, and it gives you an overview about that, you know, concept. So we have like information about the first cell phone, about the, you know, the first telephone, how far technology has come throughout the years. And it's really neat and actually pretty nostalgic, just because a lot of us have been around to see that happen.
Right. I think I had one of the first cell phones. It was a big heavy bag with
the bag phone.
With a cord.
Yes. Yeah, we have some pretty neat artifacts on display that are on loan. So you really get a really cool feeling for, you know, a timeline of how far AT&T has come as a company.
Yeah, terrific. So, Brian, I guess we can talk at the end here a little bit about our road shows coming up.
Yeah, you're going to be a busy man in March. You've got the workshop and the road shows.
We call them our low vision product shows. These are free. They're open to the public. And our first one will be March 16th, and it's going to be at the Maine Township offices in Park Ridge on Ballard Road.
Okay.
It's a popular location for us, because we have a lot of northwest suburbs people that come. It's from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It's an open house. We have over 200 products on display. And all of our staff, Luke and Eric and Sandra and everybody, will be there. So if you want to come see devices that you've only seen in a catalog before, if you want to sit down and just talk, that's another thing that we do at our road shows about living with low vision and about many of the things that are out there to help. And then we have another show in March 31st in Wheeling. It's Wheeling Township. It's actually, the city is Arlington Heights,
okay,
but it's called the Wheeling Township Office. They have their own big low vision support group that meets there. But you're welcome to come on that day, too. And that's from 10 to 3, and we'll talk more about that later. So.
And that's on the 31st, you said?
31st, right.
Okay.
Right.
All right, that's excellent. So
it's Wheeling, the city with feeling.
All right, we'll all be looking forward to that. Well, I guess that'll do it for this edition of Tom's Corner. And I want to thank Nicole Duarte.
Thank you.
From AT&T coming in. And we'll have more information in the coming weeks about the wind workshop. I guess that's it. So Tom Persky, I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Good show.
It was a good show.
Good information.
You betcha.
Absolutely. And you know, so many people get misguided by articles in new magazines that are well-intentioned but don't necessarily actually add to your health.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, in defense of everybody out there, there's so much mixed information out there. And I am in by no means saying that what I'm preaching here is gospel, because you can go on the internet and find something that's counterindicative to everything that I just said.
Of course.
So
well,
I'm, you know, I'm fully aware of
the
that.
The internet had me dead 4 years ago.
Exactly.
That, so that's it.
Exactly.
Thanks to Dr. Janice Lick, our executive director at the Chicago Lighthouse, for making the show possible. Also, Sandra Marullo, associate producer, Brian Hawkins, our technical supervisor and assistant director at Chris Radio, and of course, Lainey Kleeman.
That is I.
Who provides us with all this very helpful information as well.
Thank you so much.
I'm Bill Jurek. Mighty House guys are dragging all their stuff in here now, so I don't know what they have planned.
Well, we better scooch on out.
We're going to get out of here, and I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around for the Mighty House guys coming up next on Chicago's Progressive Talk.